Thank you for your smiles. Good evening. Once again, welcome in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I have to tell you, I'm really thankful tonight. I'm thankful in a God who has mercy upon mercy, compassion upon us. I'm thankful for the miracles that he gives us, for the way he speaks to us, for his ability to soften our hard hearts, and that he might receive the glory that he is due. I'm going to start out reading in Isaiah chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. And then said I, Woe is me! For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I can imagine this. I can only imagine it. I don't know if you all felt the earthquake yesterday morning. I woke up to it. I sort of half woke up, I guess. I heard something shaking, and I knew it was an earthquake, but then I thought it couldn't be an earthquake. I would feel it more. And I didn't feel it, I heard it. And anyway, so it was an earthquake. But I can imagine, you know, hearing that sound, but here it says, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I can imagine this great desire to worship as he ought. That desire that Isaiah must have had. He recognized his own uncleanness, his own temptations and the surrounding of people who are unclean. He recognized his need to be clean. I'm going to read a testimony that our sister Aubrey gave on Wednesday night, and it moved me with the same feeling that I need to be clean, that I need to be healed, that I could worship him as I ought. While in a season of prayer, I was trying to simply contemplate God. And the passage of Isaiah 6 of his vision came to my mind. I think in images, often images wrapped in emotion, and I believe God sometimes uses this to speak to me. He gives me images and wraps them in emotion and allows me to just sit with them. So as we prayed, my mind was filled with an image he gifted to me. It was from Isaiah 6:1, and his train filled the temple. I saw his garment in iridescently white in cascading waves as it billowed from the foyer into the chapel. It was luminescent and fluid and seemed to pour into the sanctuary and float under the pews to fill the entire space. With it came this rush of peace and light and magnificence. I saw the edge, the hem, streaming towards me, and I thought of the woman with an issue of blood and the healing in that hem and the healing in his wings. I knew that I could just reach out and grab the edge and I would be washed with healing. But then the thought broke and it kind of surprised me. Maybe because it wasn't my natural inclination. Maybe it was God's redirection of my perceived need. Maybe just acknowledgement of things that have been on my heart. The thought, as I contemplated reaching for that healing, was no. If this garment is here, it means his feet are here. I must pass this hem and crawl until I find his feet. Until I find his feet, I want to find his feet to come before them. Excuse me. I would forsake the opportunity for this healing in search of greater blessings to kneel at his feet. What it has meant to me is that I must not be focused on or contented with what blessing he pours out to me or what he can do for me temporally, but I must search to come to his feet. To hold them in my hands, to weep before them. It emboldened a desire in my heart that I might live to worship him, to bring him glory, and it has been a great blessing to me. This testimony kind of summarize some thoughts that I've been having lately. I've been hearing lots of sermons on pride, and I always thought pride was thinking that I am somehow better than other people. But it's not just that. I suffer sometimes with self-hatred, and it's a form of pride. Because the focus is on me, not on God. And that's what the lesson from this testimony is. Not the blessings that I want, not the needs that I have, but on him and glorifying him and worshiping him as I ought. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, this is Jesus and his disciples, as they went, They entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Does that sound familiar? It sounds familiar to me. In my own, I always have something to do. I'm always busy, busy, busy. And I can identify with Martha here. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." And that's what those preoccupations, I'm thinking in Spanish and trying to translate to English, those worries and concerns and getting things just right, they're not what's important. It says in verse 42, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." What did she do? She sat at his feet and she heard him. She worshiped him. Why? How did she worship him? She worshiped. Our brother Alvin gave a really good sermon. It's probably been a couple years ago, about worship and what it entails. It entails being in love with our God and in love with his commandments and believing it so much with our soul that we want to hear every word that comes out of his mouth. And that's what Mary did. She heard him. Now please turn with me to John 11. Beginning in verse 1. "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with an ointment," and we're going to read about that a little later, "and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." So it was this same Mary that sat at Jesus' feet and heard. You know, it was her brother Lazarus who was sick. "Therefore his sisters sent unto his sisters," that's Mary and Martha, "sent unto him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick.'" When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." So he allowed Lazarus to get sick and die for the glory of God, that some might choose to believe, that some might worship Christ. They might worship him and believe and see a miracle take place and see Lazarus raised from the dead and give God the glory. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And I can imagine his disciples were wondering, they're following his lead, but they're wondering. They know he loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Why is he staying in this town and not going to them? I can imagine that's the way I would be of a small faith, I think. I'd wonder. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had... Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave, so he'd been there in the grave, 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you have that kind of faith? I don't think I'm there yet. But I want to be there. I want those feet. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said, so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Come not. Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had spoken this, he cried with loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Can you imagine being there and seeing the dead raised? Can you imagine being one like Mary who believed and saw her faith fulfilled, the desires of her faith fulfilled, her brother made alive again? Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not. That prophecy that he gave, that giving, the Messiah giving his life for us. What we talked about this morning, that communion that we have with him, that we take upon us his name, and that he gives us eternal life, that he gives us salvation. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out to the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, What think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should shew it, that they might take him. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed his feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had a bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have always. But me ye have not always. She worshipped him. She worshipped him with her funds, with her money, with her love, with her time, with her life. She worshipped him. She wanted to worship at his feet. She didn't want to let go. She believed him. She believed every word he said. She believed he was the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, and she believed he had all power. She probably knew of his death coming. She probably understood because she believed him. She heard his words. I want to read a similar circumstance in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 36. I think this is it. Maybe it's 7. Yes. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the anointment. Now when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. And you know, the amazing thing about Jesus, he did know what manner of woman touched him. And yet his love for her was so great, as it is for each one of us, that he desires that we come to his feet and we worship him. This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one ought 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Mine head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same little loveth little. So I want to say tonight, allow yourselves to be forgiven. Seek him with all your heart. Come before him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Come to his feet and worship. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And I want to end back in Isaiah again, reading chapter 6, and I'm going to read 1 through 8, all the way through 8. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Whew. I'm sorry I'm reading the wrong chapter, but that I think is a very good preface for what we're going to read. Back to chapter 6, Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. I can so imagine this, because he had been cleansed, his sins had been purged, and his response was, Here am I, send me. He's purified. And that's what our goal is. That's what we look to be, as purified, forgiven of our sins, holy before the Lord, at his command, ready to do his work. So I thank God, I thank him for this testimony that he gave our sister Aubrey, and for the opportunity that we have today to come before his feet and worship him with all of our heart, that we may be cleansed and purged of our sins, and that he'll send us where he wants us to go. May God bless.